I'm burdened about some things that are really important. And so tonight, my desire is for everybody in this room to get some help. Living the Christian walk, living life, is not always easy. Anybody else in here have problems? Anybody else in here facing a battle right now? What I want to do first is tonight, if you have been saved this year, would you please stand? If you've been saved in 2022, would you just stand? Check that out. Look around. It's a cold Wednesday night. Yeah. All right, while they're standing, I'm gonna call you out. This is a good thing. Let me think. How many of you could stand and say before this year you really weren't in church, but God got you back in church this year? Would you stand? Zachary was gone. We missed him. We just clapped for you, but you were gone. All right, you can sit down. Look what God did this year. No man can do that. I don't care what the devil said to you this week. His tool's discouragement. Brother Larry Rain says this, the devil has a lot of tools, but the same handle fits them all, and it's discouragement. Yeah. And all he wants to do is lie and put something in your head and put something in the way where you don't see how big our God is. Right. Do you know how big our God is? He stepped out in a really dark time. It was dark, it was null, it was void, there was nothing, spoke everything into existence. And you think he can't handle your problems? God found someone who was so full of demons it filled all the pigs and they ran off the mountain. And when Jesus got done with him, he was sitting at his feet and clothed in his right mind. And he was asking to follow Jesus, and Jesus said, no, go see your family. That's my God. They killed him. Dead. And he got up. That's our God. And sometimes we walk around like we've done lost, when in reality we've already won. Amen. And so I don't care what discouragements come by your way and what the devil's knocking on your door with tonight, because everybody, my dad used to say this all the time growing up, and it's so true, everybody has their bag of rocks they have to carry. And everybody in this room may have something different we're dealing with, but that doesn't mean it's not important to you. But I'm telling you this, no matter what your problem is, our Savior's bigger. Our walk is what matters. And our walk is what the devil wants to discourage from happening. Here's what the devil wants. He wants your children. He wants all the kids in this room. He does not want any child in this room to serve the Lord, to get saved. Right now, if the Lord tarries, I have 3 children that need to be saved. And if they don't get saved, they will not go to heaven. I don't care who their dad is. If we can have 14,000 people here and everybody be saved. And if my 3 children don't put their faith in Jesus Christ, they'll die and go to hell. That's the truth. And every kid in this room is the same way. And the world puts all these things in front of us like they're important. All the higher education in the world can't save us all. All the money in the world can't save a soul, but the gospel of Jesus Christ, oh, that can save any soul. And it's not God's will that any man should perish. Not a single one. It's the will of God that every person in this room gets born again. Every single one. That's God's will. But what the devil wants to discourage is he wants to discourage our walk. Because here's the reality. Kids can sniff out a hypocrite from 10 miles away. Do you know a sinner can see a hypocrite sometimes quicker than a church can? And what the devil wants is he wants your walk to be over here real good one day and over there real bad one day. Let's get real with ourselves tonight. Is there anybody in the building that could honestly say tonight, your walk with God today is the best it's ever been? Never been a moment things were stronger. Never been a minute that things, you are on the climb, you are on the rise, you're in the will of God, you are right where you're supposed to be. Well, if not, you're in good company. The truth is, the burden of my heart tonight, I believe There's not a single person in the building that can say that. So don't get beat down low. Don't let the devil say you're the only one going through this battle. No, everybody else in this room is living in this crazy world right now. Everybody else in this room has some rock in their bag. It may not be the same thing you have, but it definitely matters to them. And so let's talk about our walk tonight, because our talk means absolutely nothing. I want to say it again. Your talk carries no weight if your walk doesn't line up. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ didn't come to this earth and tell some story and then live something else. Can you imagine what Peter would have to say, one of the top three that followed him everywhere? Peter, James, and John. Can you imagine how different the message would be in the book of Acts when Jesus was gone if the Jesus they saw behind the scenes wasn't the same one out there with the multitude? He never changed, never faltered, never moved. Oh no, Jesus Christ is the only man to ever walk on planet Earth that his walk never slipped. The only one. You pick up your Bible, you read through, you read about David, sinner. Was David, from the day he started walking with God to the end, strong like he should be? What about Moses? How'd Moses do? Over 80 years old and gets mad and strikes a rock. We could go through, let's think about Paul. He's the chief of all sinners. Not a single person outside of the Lord Jesus Christ has walked this earth and their walk stayed steady the entire time. But you know, we're not trying to be David. And we're not trying to be Paul. You know, David couldn't save me. Paul couldn't save me. You know, Paul's the one that God used to pin down the Romans road that we use to lead someone to Christ. And he can't save me. Jesus can. And his walk never faltered. And I think there's two things you have to do. Only got 2 points for the message. How's that? I'm not a good Baptist preacher. Only 2 points, not three. Y'all tough crowd tonight. Good night. Wake up. Psalms chapter number 1. My goal tonight is to keep Aaron awake. That's all that matters. The rest is just ice on the cake. Psalms chapter number 1. Look what the Bible says. You find any place to say amen? Amen. Psalms chapter number 1, verse 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. In order to have a correct walk, number one, we've got to have sound counsel. This world's going to give you directions of what your priorities should be. And Brother Ron Ralph says this, and I think he's 100% on cue. And you listen to this and think about it. He said the problem with our church is there's a lot of people in it that are more American than they are Christian. There may have been a day and time that being American and being a Christian lined up a lot, but that day and time is no longer here. We don't have that luxury. There may have been a day and time when this was the Bible Belt, but that's no longer here. I want all of you to think right now in this room, how many people in this room right now, you are not the product of a Christian home. Not a church going home, a Christian home. We don't live in the Bible Belt anymore. We don't have that opportunity of sitting back and just thinking that about everybody we talk to has got some godly advice, has walked with God, knows something about the Bible. More often than not, when you speak to somebody in Western North Carolina, they don't even know what the Bible says about that subject. Borrow all the money you can. Be concerned about these payments and be concerned about all this gain and all these things that have nothing to do with the Bible. How many of you, and I'm thinking in your head tonight, trying to get where we need to be. How many of you had someone literally sit you down when you were a young adult or a teenager or even a preteen and start talking to you about what you need to look for in a spouse biblically? How many of you were sat down and given the explanation of, hey, whenever you get married, sir, this is your responsibility. And ma'am, this is your responsibility. How many of us had the opportunity to have somebody sit us down and say, listen, biblically, this is how you handle finances. Biblically, this is how you work. Do you know there's instructions on how to work at your job? There's instructions on how to treat your employer. There's instructions for your employer of how to treat you. All these things that we have, all these suggestions and all this counsel and all these things that they come to you and say, hey, this is how you fix your problem. I heard someone, this came out of the mouth of a politician. He said, I have figured out how to borrow enough money to get us out of debt. What? That's the counsel we're receiving. You know, the counsel of most of our country right now, or at least those that have a microphone, say that gender's fluid. Yes, I said that. They say anybody who wants to marry anybody should be able to marry anybody. Marriage is about happiness. You know, God gives specific instructions that He made male and female, made He them. And that a man and a woman are to become husband and wife and come together, that's in the Bible. Let me tell you, the biggest mistake we make in our walk is whenever we come up to a hard patch, where do we seek our counsel? Is it in someone you trust? Because if you were one of the people earlier who would say you weren't raised in a Christian home, I'm not talking about a church going home, I'm talking about a Christian home, then you don't have a good godly source to go back to and get counsel. You're going to need the Word of God. The best advice anybody could get in this room tonight is whenever you start facing trials, when you start going through a trouble and your walk starts to waver a little bit, get in your Bible. Figure out what the Word of God says about it. Every decision you make, you should say, how does this line up with the Scriptures? Not what old fable was I told or what good idea did somebody give me. Do you know just because it's a good idea for somebody don't mean it's always a good idea for everybody? But this Bible, it's not for private interpretation, Brother Keith. It's for every living being. We need sound counsel in our lives. God says this person that walks in ungodly counsel, they're not blessable. And what they do is set up to fail. Do you know why you're walking down this path and you start to fall off and then everything you do, it seems like it just knocks you farther and farther? It's because you're not getting good counsel. You're asking people to help you that honestly can't help you. You're asking people's advice that don't know. Why not go see what God has to say about it? If you want to be successful in what you do, if you want to have, as this chapter puts it, a prosperous life, you're going to need sound counsel that only comes from God. And walking that Christian walk and never falling, it ain't easy. But here's what needs to happen. When you find yourself maybe holding up a little bit or maybe backing up a little bit or maybe going off to one side or the other, whether you go too far to the left or too far to the right, you're still not on the right trail. You start finding yourself going a little bit off. Maybe you need to get back to the Bible so it tells you how you need to walk. There are things that we don't have to pray about. You should come to church. It's in the Bible. You should pray without ceasing. It's in the Bible. You should witness. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. There are things in our Bible that God has made so clear and so pure. And I'm going to go out here on it. So perfect. Why are we looking for counsel from another source? Here's what God said. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you want to walk like you're supposed to walk, as soon as you fall off that pathway, the way to get back on that right walk is to get in the Word of God, listen to the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Listen to how He says we need to walk. That will get you back on the trail. But not only do we need sound counsel, but we need separation. It is a necessity in your Christian walk that you have separation from the things of this world. If you continue, this sometimes, just follow me here. If you continue to live in sin, you will not be walking in the Spirit. Go to Galatians chapter number 5. Many people in this room could probably quote this verse. But are we living this verse? Galatians chapter number 5, verse 17 says this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're walking where you're supposed to be with God, you're not sinning. Did you catch that? Every time you fall into sin, you're going the wrong direction. And you've got to get back in the right direction with God. If you continue to live in that sin, you're not going to find yourself the destination you desire. Verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Because it's not possible to walk in the flesh and walk in the Spirit. If every decision you make is from an ungodly counseled source, and every decision you make is not being separated, you're living in your flesh, you're living in your lust, you want it, you desire it, you keep walking in it, you're not walking with God. It is not possible to live in the flesh and walk in the flesh all the time and be in the will of God. It's not possible. It's contrary. You cannot do it. So what do we need to do? Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4:17. Look what it says. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Vain. The things that we come up with. I was having a conversation with my dad the other day, and I said, I think I honestly can take a timeline right now. No, it would not be popular, but it would be biblical. And I believe, Brother Keith, I could write down when America started turning away from God and the different things that occurred and happened time and time again when we started getting away from the Bible and we started coming to be what we are today. And it's been a process that started back early in the 1900s, really. And it started falling away rapidly back in the 40s. Yes, there were some great things that happened after that. I know some great churches occurred that 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s time period. But it started declining in the 40s in the home. The church looked fine, but the home was not okay. And that home creeped into the church around the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And now we've gotten to a spot here in 2022, about to be 2023, where you couldn't find God in a home or the church most places. People wouldn't know if He was there. Because they're walking after all these things they feel they need. They feel they need that degree. They need that job. They need that money. They need that thing. They need that goal. They need that opportunity. And all these things don't matter. If all the kids in this room had a PhD and died and went to hell, we'd lose. If every kid in this room was the best athlete, had straight A's, made $1 million a day, if they were the richest man on the planet and died and went to hell, what would that be for? And you know where that starts? By all of us. Walking in the vanity of our minds. And God said we ought not to walk like that anymore. Verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart.
Oh my goodness, God said the reason why the other people walk over here is because they're ignorant to the truth. They don't know. One thing that we fail at, and this is not part of the message, I'll get back over here, I'm running a rabbit, but the one thing we fail at is we treat people who are lost like they should know what saved people know. God said they're ignorant in their mind, they don't have the Holy Ghost, they don't know any better. We've got to tell them so they will know. With love and compassion, God said, if you have all knowledge, all faith, all hope, and you have not charity, you're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He said, you're just a loud, annoying noise. All faith, all knowledge. If you knew everything about this Bible and didn't love the person you were talking to, you're just a loud, annoying noise. And God said, we are not to walk like those that are without, those that don't know. We are to walk now as those that have been enlightened, if you will, those that have the light of Jesus Christ and know that, hey, we have a far better country we're headed to. Can I get an amen on that? My Savior, my Master, my Lord, He's building me a mansion right now. I'm not going to heaven because I'm good. I'm going to heaven because the only good one that's ever been said I could come. When God sees me, He sees all of His Son's righteousness. When He sees me, He sees one that's justified, knowing that in me is no good thing. My righteousness is filthy rags. But Jesus said, I'll take all of Aaron's sin and give him all of my righteousness. Yet one bump hits, we fall off the trail. We're like, man, I just don't know what to do. And God said, we shouldn't walk like that anymore. We now know what the Bible says. We should walk. We're getting sound counsel. We know what the Bible says. We should follow it. Verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He said, this walk we're having now, we don't need to be walking like the Gentiles. The other Gentiles walk, they don't know. They're without. They're in darkness. They have ignorance to the one that's in them. They don't know. They don't have the promise of the Bible that says greater is He that's within me than he that's within the world. They're not saved. They don't have the Spirit. They don't know those things. If you're saved tonight, oh, you shouldn't be walking like that anymore. You should know better. And you should live better. And when you start to fall off, you should get right back on track following sound counsel, following the Word of God, following the Spirit of God, and being separated from this world. And here's what's going to happen. I wrote this quote down because it hit me the day. Unless there is within us that which is above us, we shall soon yield to that which is around us. I want you to think tonight. I asked this question earlier, and I want you to really think tonight, personally, on your own level. Is there anybody here tonight that has to be honest with yourself? Don't raise your hand, think inside your head and say, I'm not walking with God right now the closest I ever have. Do you want to know why that is? I'm going to say one big reason is because you're not in your Bible like you should. When you get bumped off your walk, the first thing to get bumped off your schedule is the Word of God. You're not sitting down listening, what does God say about this? And you start finding yourself and being counseled by other things of this world, and you're so engulfed in the world and have set aside the Word that for too long the world what's driving your decisions. And God says that's what they do. I promised Miss Sonia I wasn't going to pick on, the center's not going to be on this side because she moved, it's going to be on this side. This lost person, do you know where they get their direction? It's ungodly sources. It's the world. That's all they know. They don't know. A lost person doesn't know, I need to go grab that Bible and figure this thing out. No, we have that. We have the Holy Spirit saying, you need to follow me. We need that counsel in our life. And the reason you've fallen, the reason you've moved aside, I will tell you it's because you're not following the Bible. You must say, oh, I read it every single day. Yes, but are you living it every single day? If you quoted the Bible from cover to cover and didn't live it, it would do you no good. Are you reading your Bible and following what's in the Bible? Also, what happened when you set that aside? Because again, you started engulfing and filling that time with things of the world. Whether it be things that seem innocent, like things on your phone, things on the TV, conversations with ungodly people, music that's ungodly, like, oh, it's not a bad song. You're infiltrating yourself with the world day in, day out, time in, time again, over and over. And there's no sound counsel. There's no word of God. There's no direction from God on how to handle this walk. And here's the thing that almost sounds sarcastic, not, but then we're just shocked that we're way over there. But I have seen this happen time and time and time and time again. Ashley and I were talking to Miss Shelby and Brother Brandon the other day, and I told them, over and over and over in my life, I have seen people come into the church and get on fire for God. Take a job in the church. It feel like it's too much, and instead of just quitting the job, they quit church. Don't do that. We need each other. We need each other. I need my church family. This is where we come. Ain't nobody walked in here tonight because we got it all figured out. There is nobody in this room tonight because we're the Holy Sent One. Everybody that showed up in this building tonight ain't nothing but a sinner. My prayer tonight is there's a whole lot more people in this room than not that are sinners saved by the Savior. And that's all we are. But maybe the reason why you're not walking with God like you once did or walking with God like you should be is because you're not listening to your Bible. You're not getting counsel that comes from God. You're not listening to preaching. You're not listening to music that exalts Him and teaches us. He told us to teach each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians, the direction of the church were to use that to teach ourselves. And then we found ourselves so engulfed by the world. I wonder how many people tonight would be honest and say, you are drowning from the world. It's so engulfed you in so many different ways you feel stuck. Again, you're saved this time. But you've got so far back in it you feel stuck. That's a lie from the devil. Just like he couldn't keep you from getting saved, he can't keep you from getting out of it. Peter walked out on water. He was walking with God. Oh, things were great. And all of a sudden the wind distracted him. Can you imagine, we pick on Peter, can you imagine being on that water and realizing, I can't walk on water? That's a big wave. The storm hadn't stopped yet. And he's walking on the water in the midst of a great storm. And he starts to panic and he starts to sink. Now if you read that text, what he says is, he says, Lord, save me. And immediately God does. That was not the moment that he got born again. That was a storm in the middle of his walk that he started to sink and he felt engulfed by everything around him, and without help he was going to drown. And he says, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus grabs him. And you know what happens next? God shows us and shows him, you may be walking in the storm, but you're not walking alone. And he and Jesus walk side by side and got in that boat together. You may be sitting here tonight saying, I'm so engulfed, I cannot do this, this is so difficult. Preacher, you don't understand. You don't know what I'm dealing with. I don't. But God does. And you can feel like you're drowning in the middle of a storm. And all it takes is three words and you're walking hand in hand with Jesus again. I'm not talking about going to Bible college and getting a PhD in theology and explaining the Bible and writing your own commentary from cover to cover. I'm talking about simply stop looking at the world and look at the Savior. Get back in the Word. Get back to doing what the Bible told us to do. And there's fruit that comes from it. And I want to show you that quickly. Go to Genesis chapter number 17. I've found oftentimes word studies doing different things about being sent out and going and serving the Lord. If you go find the law first mentioned, that means first time it's used in the Bible. It happens so much in Abraham's life. We talk about walking with God. We find it in Genesis 13. But right here in Genesis 17, look right here in verse number 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, be thou perfect. Verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, here's what God had done. He said, Abram, I need you to get out from your family and your kindred and get out of that wicked place. I will say tonight, some of the hardest people to get past in your Christian walk is your family that are discouraging you. So hard when your family's lost and they're over there, they don't get it. It hurts. But the only way they're ever going to get with God is if they see you walking with Him, not if you dive off back over there and sit down in the world with them. And Abram said, get out from your family. And he separated, then he found himself, and then he's listening to counsel from God. And God says, walk before me, walk with me, walk with me. And He does. Go to 24, Genesis 24, chapter 24. We find there that it's the Abrahamic covenant, if you will. Some people call it. He tells them they'll have Isaac, and we know he's had Isaac, and Isaac's his son, and he's raising him, We find him here in chapter 24, verse number 40. Look what he says. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk. Now, between this time of 17 and right here, we find that Abraham and Sarah have a child when they should not be having a child. It was a miracle of God, and He raised Isaac. And here's what Isaac could say of Dad. Dad walked with God. And he started before he was born. And here, as he's a grown, look at the rest of this verse. Before whom I walk will send His angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. What's happened in his life is now his son's old enough to be married. And during all this time, here's what he knows about Dad. Dad's walking with God. He sees it day in and day out. Do you think Abraham didn't ever fall to the wayside? Do you think a problem never came back his way? He never had any difficulties. No more problems ever came his way. We know that not to be true. He still lived life. He still was engulfed in this world. He was stuck by so many things that could be difficult in life and so many problems. Yet day in and day out, he's starting to fall off. He said, I'm going to listen to God. I'm separated from the world. I'm going to walk with God. Today's another day. I'm going to get up. We're not trying to run. We're not trying to sprint. We're trying to walk with God every single day. And he does this the entire time he's raising this child. Go to chapter 48. Chapter 48, verse 15. Jacob appears near the end of his life. And Joseph comes to visit him. Look what it says in verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. Their walk turned into their testimony. And Isaac saw Abraham. And Abraham walked with God. Then Isaac had Jacob. You know what he can say about Dad? Dad wasn't perfect. Dad walked with God. And Joseph could take a step back and say, Dad wasn't perfect. But Dad walked with God. Go to Hebrews chapter number 11. Can anyone tell me what this chapter is called? Hall of Faith, Heroes of Faith. Hebrews chapter number 11, look at verse 17. We find Abraham being told to walk with God. He said, separate yourself and listen to me. Get sound counsel. Isaac learns that from his dad. Jacob learns that from his dad. Joseph learns that from his dad. And it is four generations now. They are walking with God. Chapter 11, verse 17 says this in Hebrews. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall my seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. And then it jumps to Moses. I've studied this chapter, I've went through this chapter, and I know it mentions Moses' parents, and it mentions Moses. Right here I find this is the only time in this chapter that four straight generations are mentioned as heroes of faith. And it never would have happened if Abraham had not walked with God. I could line them up tonight, and the sole reason there is a church right here, one of the greatest reasons there is a church still right here that I can come walk in is because my mother's father walked with God right here. I believe that. And my mom walked with God right here. And I'm standing here tonight trying my best to walk with God right here. Because I want my three babies back there to walk with God right here. There's absolutely nothing we could do that would bring greater harm to the children in this room than to stop walking with God. I look around this room and, man, you put them all in a room together, they're a wild bunch. But they need some people that'll say, I'm not going to fall to the devil's tricks. I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to walk with God. No time tonight in this message have I mentioned or will I mention, because it's a lie, that it's going to be easy. I won't say that one time. Life's not easy. Can anybody attest to that? But man, it sure is good walking with Jesus in it. How's your walk? If one of these kids grew up to be you right now, would we be pleased? I got so burdened this week with Keith. I was in there in the study, and I was really trying to write out kind of a policy for missionaries of what we'll support. Just trying to think and pray as a church, what are the things that we should have as an expectation? Because when you send someone money out of the church, you want to be good stewards of money, and you want to hold accountable on that, and you want to be right. And I started thinking, I was like, well, you know, we should require at least a quarterly prayer letter. And the first thought, honestly, was a monthly prayer letter. And I was like, could we write one for Fellowship Baptist Church this past month that I'd want to support? If I was a missionary on the field, would I want to support me? I'm talking about convicting you real quick. Make you think. That if we followed Caleb Brown this month, would we all say, great investment. Absolutely take a month of support. Maybe that walk's not where it should be. We get to looking at everybody else and all these things, and the devil throws all these distractions. Tonight, you shouldn't be concerned about another person in this building. You can't fix nobody else's walk. You can't do it. You can only be concerned with your own. How's your walk? How are you doing? Are you looking around through that Bible like a magnifying glass, seeing everybody else's faults, and never looking in it like a mirror, seeing your own? Would you just be honest tonight with God about where you are? Because He already knows. We never pray to inform Him. We just pray to involve Him. Maybe it'd be a great way to have the last service of the year for some of us to get in this altar here and get right with God and say, we need help with our walk. We need to follow the Word of God. We need to get out of this world. Would there be some people tonight that would come to the altar? No piano, just people, just time of praying. And say, I am not as close as I once was. I need to do better.